committee meetings for May 4th, 2015 will come to order. Please turn off our silence electronic devices. Mr. Richard, you lead us in the pledge, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Call roll, please.
Councilmember Rhodes?
Here.
Councilmember Bluthwaite?
Here.
Councilmember Richard?
Here.
Councilmember Andre?
Here.
Councilmember Easter?
Here.
Attorney Hoskins?
Here.
Mayor Melham?
Here. The minutes for the April 13th meeting are in your package. If you have any corrections, let us know. It'll be on the agenda for next week for approval. Already found here. Committee reports, police station construction update. You've probably seen that there's been some progress made. We still have, I think, an extensive punch list, especially serious items like roof leaks and things like that. For your information, if you pass by and you're wondering, Wayne is receiving, I thought it was today, probably tomorrow, some sod. And what I've told him is I only want to sod the areas that are visible from the road, like this back here where I park and stuff like that. Wayne wants to grow Bermuda like he has in the middle of the median out there. He prefer to do that, and I think it looks great. So, the grass is going to come out, you know, this summer for sure. And so if you don't see, you see only half of it sod, that's the reason.
He's siding Bermuda, yeah.
Couldn't tell you. He dealt with Bill Dogg, and I don't know what he's doing, but I'm probably. But anyway, so if you see that, but from the road, as a passerby goes by, the areas that he's not saw are areas that you probably can't see anyway, unless you're really, really looking for it. We had an interesting thing the other day. I was in Raleigh, North Carolina, and I was watching on the Weather Channel, so I called Debbie and them in the office and said, look, y'all need to get out, you know, it's really bad, and y'all need to get out of the building and get over to the police station. Well, they went to the police station while they were there, they picked up on three or four punch list items that, the architect, everybody had overlooked them, so good for them, so we added them to the list. So the moral of that story is you need to let ladies do the punch list, and you're probably better off. But, they're still working punch list items, we'll see what happens. So we still have their retainage, so they've got to finish. Any questions or comments on the station?
One thing, outside of punch lists and issues like that, it is good to have a building that's structurally built like that for that very thing, that you can go in there and have a safe engineering storm.
Did the generator kick on okay whenever we lost power? Did you not lose power on this?
We
lost it in the back end.
Yeah.
Speaking of the generator, they ran tested it the other day, and it's going to kick on every Wednesday at 8:00. It's supposed to run. It's supposed to run 15 minutes. Did Wayne ever figure out whether it's 30 or 15? It's going to run a half hour every week. The vendor, but we schedule it when we have my staff meeting at 8:00 on Wednesday. So all you've got to do is a few minutes. Yes, sir.
Running the generator is one thing. Are they going to kill the power of the building and make sure it takes over the load?
No, they're not going to do that. The vendor doesn't recommend that. But what we did was we have scheduled once a year a pop-up so that prior to hurricane season, we'll just go out there and we'll just remove the power from the building and see if it kicks on and drops in, make sure it's working.
For informational purposes, because just running the generator just means the motor runs. It's not telling you that the generator is producing electricity. Correct.
At first, he told us that it was going to test, you know, like we'd have a power transfer. And then he came back and said, no, the vendor doesn't want it. And Wayne was telling me all the other generators do that too. So
That's shocking, because we get written up all the time, five years out, that they never put a load on it. And you find out it doesn't work.
Yeah. Well, we talked about the staff meeting. We're actually going to schedule it like in our preps for hurricane season to just go remove the load and remove the outside power and have it see if it comes on and transfers like it's supposed to, we'll have enough time to fix it if we don't. And he recommended the police station, fire department do the same thing. I don't know whether they're going to do that or not, but they probably will. So, anybody, any other questions or comments? All right, street overlay update, y'all probably read my email to them that said, hey, y'all, you know, watch your quantities, et cetera, et cetera. Well, they're now, in fact, they probably finished patching all these quarters today. And I got a note from them, an email from them that says that the soil cement is so pitiful that they have to go down to 12 inches in a lot of places and put asphalt in there. Well, there's not much we can do about it, just powdering it. It was just poorly done, so we're going to have to, we can expect more.
What street is that?
All these quarters.
The original?
Yeah, the original. So we're just going to have to expect more charges.
They've got the two limestone patches down, you don't need the else lines down.
Right, right. But after the email that I sent, their guy was here like within 5 minutes and Wayne and him walked down and they now have a spreadsheet that shows exactly what the quantities are at every location. And they, today, I think today was the day they walked down Live Oak and we added some stuff on Live Oak. Like some of the places, since we actually gave them the list, some of the places have cracked. So in the areas, like the front part of Live Oak, we're going to do the whole thing. We didn't change that, but the back part of Live Oak, there's two or three patches that we added, but I don't think it's going to be that big a deal. But just, you know, just to, since they're here, we need to do it. So I'm certain there's going to be an overrun on that contract, but that's not a surprise. Anything else, Roy? Did I miss anything?
No, I caught that email and I called it to find out what he was really meaning with that email.
Yeah. Okay, Planning and Zoning Committee, Planning and Zoning Minutes from April 22nd in your package. First item, discuss the variance request, Dane and Bonnie Diorman, 501 North Lebeau Avenue, non-compliance section 19.31.1, R1 single family residential minimum lot width from 80 to 60. Dane, you have anything you want to say?
Not really, Joey. I think I've explained it in the past. If anyone has any questions for me, I'll be happy to answer.
I have a few questions. Does anybody in the council have any questions?
No.
Why don't you come up to the podium so we can have it recorded? Have you looked into moving your shed?
No.
I don't know, you didn't look into it?
No.
Have you looked into changing the access? Is the only access to your shed on the what would that be? East side? West side?
The building itself. The access into the building?
Yeah.
That's on the west side.
That's the only access?
Mm-hmm.
Did you investigate cutting another access into the building from any other side?
I had no reason to.
You didn't have a reason to?
I don't have a reason to. I've got access from the west side.
Oh, okay. So the fact that you need a variance, you really don't, and 15 feet from your building to the edge of the property, that's not a reason?
I don't understand the question, Joe.
You'll understand later. Have you discussed the town requirements with Drew Macy?
Drew Macy, is he the realtor for the TND?
No, Drew Macy is the assistant general manager for Sinclair, and he's also my son-in-law.
I haven't
talked to Drew. Well, he told me you called him. Well, he told me, must be lying, huh?
Well, let's back up now, Joey, and talk about who's lying. I'm lying or he's
No,
lying.
I said he must be lying. That's what I said. I didn't say you were lying.
For Sinclair. Okay, so why would I call Mr. Macy?
Well, according to him, you called him because you wanted to know what the setback requirements were for his
his
development.
So that gentleman is not the realtor for Okay.
He's not a real estate agent.
Okay.
He's never been to real estate school, has no desire to be in real estate.
All right, well, I'll answer your question.
All right.
Yeah, I want to get some information on TND now, so I called Sinclair's office, and they got me in touch with Drew.
Yes.
And from the way the lady, the secretary was talking to me, he was the real estate.
He's the guy handling the development, he's not the real estate agent, he's the developer, like you were.
All right, so he's the developer.
You weren't the real estate agent, but you were the developer, right?
Correct.
Okay, same thing.
Correct.
Okay.
So I had a lot of questions for him, and he was very helpful, and he answered those questions.
And you planning to do a TND anywhere, anytime soon?
No.
Okay, well then, what would you be questioning him about a TND for?
Well, let's see, I've been living in Brule since 1979.
There were no TNDs then?
May I answer the question?
Please.
Thank you.
All right.
Do I have the floor to speak?
Yes, you do.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Let's see, I'm a citizen of the United States of America. I've been a resident of Brule since 1979. I'm interested in what goes on around the area. I saw signs go up for the sale of the lots in Stonewall T&D. And I was interested in the size of the lots because they don't tell you that on the signage. If you go to the website, it doesn't tell you on the website. I'm curious about that. So I had some other questions for him too. I was wondering about the zoning because it seemed like small lots. And he told me that there were several different zoning areas that were going to be in the TND because the town of Brule, and also they basically had adopted what the parish has adopted for the TND regulations, if I remember correctly. So I've talked to him as a citizen of Brule, interested in, I am in real estate. My wife and I own property. We have commercial property that we lease out, so I'm interested in real estate and what goes on in the town of Brule. So what does that have to do with me having access on the west side of my building?
Nothing.
Well, then why did it come up?
Because I wanted to, because he told me that you said that the ordinances that we have in the book were not kept up to date and that you couldn't go by that, and I was curious as to why you didn't come to the building official if you had concerns about the ordinances not being kept up to date and the regulations thereof and what the difference is between a TND zone and an R1 zone.
Okay.
Why didn't you come to the building official for that?
Because
he just says in Brule. He doesn't live in Brule.
You just told me he's the developer for the TND,
right,
didn't you? Well, then he's going to know about the different zoning areas, isn't he?
No. No.
Oh, he's not?
He's not going to know about anything other than his TND.
What kind of, well, he's going to know about that.
Well,
and that's what I was asking about. You know, Joey, I don't see what this has to do at all with Bonnie and I wanting to Matt, any speaking?
Yeah, you
thank
are.
Thank you. Well, thank you. I don't see what this has to do with Bonnie and I wanting to divide our home property, the property that our house sits on, into two lots to be able to sell the lot that has nothing built on it.
Okay. My turn?
Yes.
Variances. You want a variance. That's what it has to do with. You want a variance. That's what's on the agenda right now. Do you know Miss Birch who lives on Orleans Corners?
Birch, which are?
Birch, the lady on the left, by the fourth house on the left that they dug up in the front yard.
Oh, yeah, Jackie.
Yeah, you know Jackie.
I know Jackie. Uh-huh.
Did you tell Jackie that the reason her front yard was dug up because she didn't live there anymore and we picked that place because of that?
No, I didn't tell her.
Okay, good. All right, that's all the questions I have for now. Anybody else have any questions?
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Ms. Berthelot tells me now the last thing, Miss Godet is back today, I understand.
Yes.
Okay. And she told me that Debbie told me that the only thing she sees left to do as far as the property division on Bonnie and I's lot is that Bonnie and I assigned the main platform. And the only thing left is your signature.
No, the council has to approve.
Excuse me, the only thing left on this particular, the only thing left on the document is your signature. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you see a problem with you signing it if the planning and zoning says it's okay?
I don't care whether the planning and zoning says it's okay. I care if the council says it's okay. And if they say it's okay, I'm going to sign it.
Okay.
If they say it's not okay, I ain't going to sign it.
So.
End of story.
Thank you. All right, so, and then.
I don't get a veto power on this. I don't get a veto.
Okay. So after we finish with this discussion here, then what's going to transpire?
Next, it'll be put on the agenda regardless. It'll be put on the agenda next Monday for the actual vote. This is a committee meeting.
Correct.
There's no vote done tonight, if anything.
Okay.
So it'll be put on, it's going to be put on the agenda one way or the other.
Correct.
And when that item comes up, the council's going to vote on the variance and they're going to vote on the plat, two different things.
Okay.
Just like it says on the agenda tonight.
Okay. And then once that is done, do I have to go back before planning and zoning?
No, it's done. It's the next morning, first thing, as soon as you get the piece of paper to me, I sign it and then it goes to, you goes to the courthouse. Do we record it, does he record it? You record it and it's a done deal.
Right.
It's over.
Okay.
Done.
All right. Does anybody else have any questions? Thank you.
Okay. I'd like to get some further because I have a few things to say. When I became mayor on January 1st, 2001, approximately January 2nd of 2001, Butch Leger was in my office. And the first thing he told me was that this subdivider right here has had an ongoing war with the town over a drainage servitude that his grandfather granted to the town. And he had an expectation that the grass in that servitude would be mowed more frequently than anybody else's and kept like, almost like a front yard. In 2002, this subdivider right here came to the town. He wanted to subdivide his property. And he wanted to call it Orleans Quarters. He advertised and promoted it as a top quality subdivision with unique architecture. There would be a brick section in the front with a common ground area, patio type thing. It'll be highly restricted and all of that. As a matter of fact, the subdivision one was called a Good Growth Award. There's an award for top quality sub, okay? Along with that, he included on the subdivision what he called a landscape servitude, which we're all very familiar with, runs parallel to the street and basically kept Henry Lawson from being able to develop his property. He also built a fence to block the view from his house to Henry Lawson's house. Now, landscape servitude is an interesting name because there is no landscaping, one never has and never will be. During the process of his development, the town granted him 26 variances. We have probably haven't granted 26 variances for all the subdivisions put together in the town, but this one got 26 variances. The subdivider did not want to, he didn't want to, the expense of a lift station, so as a result, he ran the sewer lines so shallow that it has to be a special provision for six lots in the subdivision so that they have to be at least 2 feet over the sewer line, which kind of like created a hump in the front of the subdivision, in front of each house. The town of Ruley, me, got in trouble because we provide this subdivider with culverts through the culvert program, which basically saved him the taxes, and we got written up by auditor. We shouldn't have done that, but we did. During the process, process of the development, he submitted some drawings, and then at the end of the project, he submitted another set of drawings, which basically eliminated the backfill on the lot so that instead of him having to bear the cost of it, the people who bought the property had to bear the cost so they could, so the water would drain front and back. The subdivider was asked to grant a servitude, a drainage servitude on the west side of the property going to the west. Debbie, show, you got that picture? He refused to provide it, and a few years later, this is the condition of the drainage servitude that he was supposed to be keeping up, which caused problems for the people in the subdivision. I can tell you that because they reminded me of it. Notwithstanding all those things, excuse me, the final plat was approved in March of 2003. In 2006, the council spent a lot of time and put together a nuisance ordinance. Nuisance ordinance that involved tall grass, dead cars, blighted property, blah, blah, blah. There were 20-something people who were identified as having blighted property. About half of those were because of grass. Mr. Yarman, our subdivider, was identified as one of the people that had tall grass, probably the length of where Eric is standing. He, which is his right, he appealed it. When he came for his appeal, he said that he was turning that into a wildlife management area and committed to put trees every 20 on 20-foot centers. So as a result of that, the appeal was granted. So not only did he not cut the grass in the ditch that would help his neighbors, he didn't cut the grass in his property either. And at some point time in there, I don't even know what year, he also logged his area and used our streets to haul the logs out that, you know, probably damaged in the streets. Can't prove that, though. But at some time in the past that, he decided to sell his property. Now, before selling his property, he knew he wasn't going to own it, but he did not transfer or abandon the servitude state, which we have had many problems with. But we're not here to talk about our subdivider. I am, but y'all are not here to talk about the subdivider. Y'all are here to talk about whether the plat is to be approved, the variance. I've heard it said, and it is true, it's not about the person, it's about the town. In fact, chapter 19 in our guiding principles says, and I quote, "All decisions shall be made based on what is best in the best interest of the town of Brule." It doesn't say in the best interest of an individual citizen, it says in the best interest of the town of Brule. If you could put that sketch back up. What this variance does with this property, what this does, this does, is it changes, you see this line right here, and that line right here? This is the what I call the buildable area. This is the area you can build something in. If you look at it from that standpoint, the fact that the lot is 60 feet wide, you only have 40 feet you can build in. Up here you have the amount you need. You're supposed to have 60 minimum, but you only have 40 in here. So in effect, you've converted this area in here to an R4 lot. You haven't rezoned it R4, but you've converted it into an R4 lot. So if I'm the person who comes and buys this lot, and has a 10-foot servitude here, setback here, and a 10-foot setback here, what's the first thing that I'm going to want to do? I'm going to want to change the setbacks, move it this way and that way, because I'm jammed in to sink into 40 feet instead of 60 feet. I went down the street, and my house is the narrowest house on Orleans Quarters, and my house is 55 feet wide. I got two-story houses, why mine's not as wide as everybody else's. So what this variance is doing is it's changing this part of the property, half of the property, to R4. It's reducing the buildable area by 33%. The buildable width, not the buildable area. Every person who lives on Arlene's Corridor Drive, every person, not almost every person, has a minimum of 80 feet all the way from front to back. Every person, 70 and something in the back and 30 original, that's 100 places. Every one of them on Arlene's Corridor Drive is a highly restricted subdivision, a lot, because it's part of either Arlene's Corridor or Arlene's West. Highly restricted. The town of Ruley, in my time here, has never granted a variance for an accessory structure where there is a residence next to it. Never. We've granted a lot of variances for accessory structures where on the other side of the property line there is either nothing or is another accessory structure, but never where there's a residence. There's going to be a residence here. So, you know, I think it's very arrogant to ask for 15 feet to back out a zero-turn lawnmower when, you know, it actually serves a purpose to only jam somebody else in. With this lot, I guess we don't need to apply for a good growth award. I don't think we need to worry about quality homes because we can go back down to the minimum town requirement, which is 1,200. We don't have to worry about the architecture being controlled because it doesn't have any restrictions like Arlene's Corridor does. We don't have to worry about any type of restriction because it doesn't have any restrictions on it, except for the town plot. But Mr. DeArmond said earlier today he never even considered moving his shed. Never considered it. Mr. DeArmond also said he never even considered finding a different access to it. The reason Mr. DeArmond didn't do those things is because Mr. DeArmond is in the habit of the town doing for him, but him doing nothing for the town. It's all a one-way street. So if this were something that we would say, well, you know, this is a guy who has asked for things and he's always worked with us. He's left us with that so-called landscape servitude, which is a real detriment to the town. Now, one thing I would like for you to remember, and it's very important to remember, what's on the table right now is not subdivision of this property. What's on the table right now is a variance. We're talking about the variance. We're not talking about the subdivision of property. Granting this variance jams this area into an R4 configuration. This is a variance we're talking about. I would urge that you tell Mr. DeArmond no, that he, you know, make this 8 feet right here, and if he can't get access in 8 feet of getting in and out of the shed, then find another way again. Cut yourself another door somewhere else. My preference would be move the whole darn shed, but I don't think it'll go along with that. And with that, I want to say that I'm opposed to the variance as written on that plat. I'm opposed to any variance whatsoever. I think he should move his shed, but if that doesn't work out, I think he should be minimum. And I also think the variance of the setback on the other side, the setbacks on both sides should be reduced such that you have, 16 feet clearance from the nearest building to the building line. What I mean by that is 8 from his shed, another 8, and then 8 from Kitty's house, plus another 8, which would just be 8 from the property line, because she's way over there. So that's what I have to say.
May I offer some rebuttal?
Yes, you recognize the microphone.
Thank you. First of all, let me just mention that in this whole process of going through the subdivision of tract that my wife and I have, all through that time, my civil engineer, who drew up those plans, either he or myself has spoken with Joey, I think, at least once, maybe twice.
And during that time, there were some items that the town wanted put in, make sure we had it, the notations like they wanted. Fine, we want to get everything right. Through that whole process, both from what Joey had told our civil engineer and what he had told me, was that he really didn't see a problem with what was going, what we were trying to do. Now, Joey, obviously he came prepared to this meeting, did some homework for this meeting in order to bring a lot of old stuff up. He's made some statements that I think some of the statements are made on assumption. One thing he's done, he talks about the building that I have, and he talked about two options. I could move the building. Of course, I've got concrete base in there, got electricity and water run to it. I can put a door in a different side of it. But he also didn't think about another option. And that is, and this is an option that we thought about, Jerry, that Bonnie, my wife, and our civil engineer talked about, that what happens if possibly the town, for some of the reasons that Joey mentioned, decided that they didn't want to grant us a variance or whatever, approve what we're trying to do. So at that time, I asked Mr. Don Niesler to meet with me. He is a council member of the town of Brule, and all council members represent everyone in the town of Brule. Mr. Niesler is not just my council member. Shane is not just my council member. I could go to anyone that I wanted. I called Don, and he was nice enough to come and talk to me about the situation. And I don't know if Don remembers, but one of the options we talked about, I know Bonnie and I and my civil engineer, was that we could just include the building in Track A2. Then you don't have any sort of a lessening of the width of the property in the back, and we could include that. Now, when you get into showing the different ways that that plat is done, every time there is a change to that plat, that costs time and money. Okay? So what I was trying to do is get all the information I needed to have for what we thought was going to work. Ideally, this is what we would like to see happen, because we still get to keep our building. Okay? So, Joey, I believe you overlooked the fact that that was another option.
Didn't know it. I'd have taken it if you'd have said it.
Well, you just made some assumptions that the two options I have were the two that you made.
That's correct.
That's correct. Okay. Now, as far as you want to go back to some things way back, you want to go back to using the roads to be able to have timber moved out of the back of the property. Let me see, they're public roads. Believe a trucking company and a timber company has a right to use public roads to come in and take timber from a forested area and bring it out, which is what they did. So I don't know why bringing that up alluding to the fact that it's Bonnie and I's fault that that extra weight was on those streets at that time. Now we're going to get into the Good Growth Award, and we're going to get into the entranceway to the Orleans Quarter subdivision. My wife and I spent a good deal of money on that entryway. The 8-foot fence that we ran for 800 feet, was it just to keep the view of, at that time, Mr. Melanson, his barn that was in the back, but it also enhanced the entrance to the subdivision and allowed for us to put some nice shrubbery along the side. Along with that entryway is what I will call a courtyard. And as you come into the subdivision and you go past the cedar trees and where the signage is saying Orleans Quarters, and you look to the left and you see a courtyard. Now, if you go out to that courtyard, another thing that the mayor wanted to allude to today was the amount of growth that was on my property at one time. If you go into town of Bruley today, you're going to see lots. Thank you. Appreciate that. You're going to see lots that have growth on them.
Negative.
Excuse me?
Negative.
Okay, so in other words, if you go into Orleans Quarters today and you look at the courtyard, what are you going to see besides the Seven Sisters roses? What are you going to see growing around the courtyard?
Grass.
Excuse me?
Grass.
What else is there, Joy? You pass there twice a week.
Yeah.
Grass, roses, and what else?
Trees.
You're going to see trash, shrubbery growing there. That's what you're going to see. Now, that belongs to the Homeowners Association. Now, back when Bonnie and I were responsible for that area, it never looked like that. We took a lot of pride in what we put our money into. And may I just remind the town, and myself too, I guess. You know, Bonnie and I, we took on the whole expense of that subdivision. We didn't have any financial partners in that. We had the property, and we took out the loan for it. We took the whole risk of that. That's what we did. And you say, why? Well, I can tell you it was to try to maximize the assets that we had. It was try to take care of our family, 5 stepkids and 8 step-grandchildren down the road, to be able to utilize the property that was back there. We won the Good Growth Award back in 2003. You know why? Because of the unusual aspect of that subdivision and what we were able to accomplish with the amount of property that we had. We were very proud of that. All of the homes that are in that subdivision are very nice homes. There are a total of 30 lots in Orleans Quarter subdivision. Right now, there's only 2 that are empty. There's one that's about midway that has the beautiful oak tree, and it has the tree house. And the way that came about, the original owner, he bought both the lots, and he has since sold that. Maybe someday something will be built on that lot. And then the other one has been purchased, and I assume down the road it will be built on. But all of those houses, I think, are very, very nice. People did an excellent job with what they did there. And one thing, and I'll make it public right now, I would have appreciated it if Joey, if he had a problem with any of this before this meeting. Now, I started this process back before Thanksgiving of last year. So if Joey had a problem with any of this, I would appreciate it if he had told me beforehand. I stood in this exact same room during the building of Orleans Quarter subdivision. And one of the things that transpired, back at the end of Orleans Quarters, before there was anything else back there, there was a turnaround. We had to have a turnaround for emergency vehicles, for school buses, for ingress and egress. Fine. And we knew it was going to be a temporary thing. It stood there several years, but it's no longer there. During that time, we were required to have a certain amount of, I'll say, shells, rocks, whatever you want to call it, road material, but it wasn't asphalt. We were required to have that at a certain depth. So we were having, we were going to be having one of the approval meetings. We went through a lot of approval meetings during that process. And so we thought we were in good shape. But at that time, the town had a gentleman working for the town as kind of a inspector for our subdivision. So that afternoon, saw him come by, take a look at the area in the back. My wife and I come to the meeting, and we come to find out that it wasn't, it was a couple inches short on what it needed to be. So technically, the town was right. But you know what? The town knew about that before the meeting. So what happens? The town decides to wait until we come up here, get told, well, hey, we're not up to par on this particular deal, so you know what? Set us back some more. Cost us some more time and money. So I'll be honest with you, and I think Joey will agree with this. There's no love lost between Joey and I. I don't send him Christmas presents, and he doesn't send me Christmas presents, okay? We understand that. We're just kind of different people. But I remember one time, several years ago.
We have a 5-minute limit, and after about 5 minutes, I'll set it on another 5 minutes. So
okay, well, I appreciate it, but at the same time, with all due respect, I was coming here thinking y'all were going to be asking me about this, and all of this baggage from way back when came up. Okay? So, but I asked Joey.
In less than 5 minutes.
And I asked Joey in his office, just the two of us, one time. May I just finish my statement? Does anyone have a problem with me finishing my statement? Does anyone, looking at the situation?
Just how long it is. I mean,
I promise this will be my last statement, okay? Joey and I sit in the office. I asked Joey a simple question. Joey, do you think I'm a person of integrity or not? You know, I'm still waiting for him to answer that question.
Okay. All right. Does anybody else wish to speak about this particular item? Okay. Next item is discuss final plat, plat 501 North Bow Avenue. Map showing re-subdivision of Track A into Track A1 and A2 located in Section 55. Township 8 South, Range 12 East, Southeast Land District, west of the Mississippi River, West Baton Rouge Parish, Louisiana, for Dane and Bonnie Bjorn. I don't have anything to say about the plat other than what I've said already. Anybody want to talk about it?
Can I say something?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
In talking with the developer, pardon me, of the TND, found out that the lots, there's 20 lots back here, I believe, in this first section of the TND. The majority of them, except for two, I believe, that are kind of in the corners and their shapes are a little pie-shaped or something. But the rest of them, they're 40 feet wide by 110 feet long. That's 4,400 square feet. The way that we have the drawing that y'all saw, that's 10,086 square feet. square feet that we have to deal with. They have 5 feet built on one side, 5 foot on the other. If they want to go 0 on one side, that's fine, but then they have to have 10 on the other side. That's 3/4 of a mile down from me. I realize it's in a different zoning area, still in the town of Brule, and if we're talking about nice homes, there hasn't been a home built on Orange Quarters Drive so far that I don't believe isn't nice, and I know the town of Brule is not going to let somebody do something that's not going to be nice, sitting next to Bonnie and I and to the Dalbers that are on the other side with 4,600 square feet plus for the building footprint if they decide to build that big of a home. Thank you.
Do I answer?
So we're going to vote on the variance first.
Vote on the variance first, then the plat itself.
So the variance vote is on driveway.
Now, anybody on the council or Tom or anybody else can correct me if I'm wrong. If the council so wishes, the council can, it's not just a go or no go, you can adjust it and say, well, we grant the variance for a different amount, or if Dean says he wants to include the shed, you can adjust it at that time. You don't have to vote go or no go on what's submitted. So Dean, to sort of answer your question, there will be a resolution one way or the other at the end of the meeting, whether or not. I mean, if the council says, what you got there is fine, it's good. If the council says, I need you to move this line or do that line, that's good. If you come in and say, look, hey, to make things different, I want to do this instead, that's good too. So it's not gonna be like every month there's going to be a different iteration of this until it gets approved.
Well, excuse me, as far as I'm concerned, that's kind of already been the process. As I said, I started the process, not with the town, in November of last year, getting together with my civil engineering office. Yeah. But certainly since the beginning of this year, I've been with the town on all this. Now, if I throw into the mix that, yeah, well, we'll include the shed or whatever, well, then that still, that puts us, you know, back again. It's the same situation, Joe. I mean, I just don't understand.
If you don't understand what I meant, then you never understand it. You don't want to understand.
I don't want to understand it. No, what I don't appreciate is the fact that I get sidelined when I come in here, Joe. You know what? Would you want to answer my question now? Am I a person of integrity or am I not? Is it that hard of a question to answer?
You're asking for an opinion. I'd rather just stick to facts. If you want that answer, you come and see me at any other time, and I'll answer that question for you.
You didn't do it before in your office.
Well, yeah, but you had something submitted before us that I eventually have to sign, so it was not the right thing to do at that time.
So do you really think, Joey, that this is the way that a mayor of a town should treat its citizens, even whether you like me or you don't like me? You're going to wait till I come in here for this thing, and you're going to bring up all this stuff about the grass and everything? You're really going to do that, Joey?
Dean, if whatever you just said, I can say the same thing about the way you treat the citizens of the town of Brule and some of the stuff you've left behind in your wake. That is, in my opinion, it's only an opinion, backed up by considerable facts. Look at that one up there, for example.
Where is that right now, Joey?
Where is that right now?
Where is that grass? Is it still there?
No, it's
not. I don't own that grass, Joey. Why are you bringing that up?
Because you promised the town that you would take care of that servitude, you would take care of that ditch so that it would drain the water off of Arlene's Quarters, and you didn't.
You know what I promised in 2002? You know what the town of Brule came for?
Oh, so if the town did promise something and we didn't keep it, then it was okay for you not to keep a promise.
Do you want to finish my sentences for me, John?
Yeah.
Am I not old enough to finish my own sentences? You asked me a
You're
question.
Go ahead, Dane. I don't want to exchange with you.
You don't want to exchange with me.
I don't get a veto. I don't get a vote. The council gets the vote. The council gets the decision. And I have the best counsel in the world. And whatever they decide, I'm perfectly comfortable with it. But they were not going to have a vote unless one of the citizens in the town who lives 4 houses down from this lot got his say, and that's me. and I don't care if you agree with it or you don't, that's for them to vet out, and they know, and they know me well enough to know that however they vote, I'm completely behind them. But they are going to, they did hear it, and they're not going to hear it again. I'm not going to lobby for it. They're going to come in next Monday, and I know they're going to do the right thing. I'm positive of that. You're not positive of that, but I'm positive of that.
Well, excuse me, you're talking for me now?
Yes, yes, I am.
That's great, Joey. That's about that. The sixth time you've spoken for me.
Yes, that's right, because of based on facts. That's right.
Oh, based on facts.
Right.
Based on whose facts, Joey? That's just like the last time I was in here with my lawyer, and it's on record.
Lawyer.
You, yes, thank you. You have your town lawyer right there.
He doesn't
I have
belong
my,
to me.
Excuse me?
He doesn't belong to me. He works for the town.
May I finish what I'm saying?
Every time I say something, you ask if you can finish. So go ahead. Finish. You've already used up 2 5-minute segments, and I'll let you go another one. Come up here and rant. Continue to rant.
Excuse me, I'm ranting?
Yes.
How long did you have up there?
Less than 5 minutes. 4 minutes and 30 seconds.
You had a chance to practice it, Joey. You sideswiped it.
It's a conspiracy.
Well, no, it's not a conspiracy because it's just you. I came in here. Let me finish saying this. I came in here with my lawyer, and you said, and it's on the tape, that the DeOrmans had the nerve to bring their lawyer into this meeting to try to frighten the council. That's what you said.
I said that. I remember that.
Oh, I know you did. Oh. So that's the mayor of a town in the United States of America.
Yes, it is.
Where we stood up and we said, look at me sarcastically, Joey. We said the Pledge of Allegiance, one nation under God, for liberty and justice for all. And then after we say that, you get upset because I got my lawyer here. That's really a great way to be the mayor of a town in the United States.
I got good news for you, Dan.
What's that?
It won't be much longer. It'll only be a year and 5 months more. And you can run, and you can show everybody how to do it. You're the man.
I want to run?
Oh, well, you
should. Look, now it's getting personal, dude. You can tell that. These people aren't stupid.
Dang, it's been personal with me and you for a long time.
Oh, I know it has.
Long time.
I know it has.
And you might notice when I made my presentation, the last portion of it, where I concentrated strictly on the property and the variance. The only reason I brought up all that garbage is because I wanted to make the point that everything that has to do with your property has always been about Dane, Dane, and Dane. Never the town, never the people who are going to follow. You don't care about the guy who's going to buy the lot. You don't care about the neighbors and all the restrictions that you don't have to follow. You don't care about nothing. It's always been about Dane, Dane, and Dane. A public servant like Henry Melanson, who busts his ass every day going out saving people's lives, and you hated him, so you put that strip up there to keep him from developing his property.
Yeah.
You put up a fence because you didn't even want to look at him. The road, we have to fix the road right now because the soil cement is nothing but dust. The end of the road is completely a disaster. You know, everything's always been about Dane.
I improved it.
Oh, yeah.
What are you getting on me for? I had engineers and people working for me.
Yeah.
You had the soil samples.
A little
bit. You should have improved it.
A little bit. Look, we need to concentrate on the property. If you want to talk about your feelings towards me and my feelings towards you and where I think you're less than desirable. Let's set up a meeting. We'll talk
you
about
just
it.
Did
we'll
it.
Talk about all the property. We'll talk
you
about
it. You just did it, Joey. You just did it. You set me up. You had a chance to go ahead and put all that together. I walk in here and get blindsided. If that's the type of person you want to be.
That's the type of person I am.
Well, I can see that.
I believe in a public forum. That's exactly what I believe in. You need to get another drink of water. Your tongue is white. Okay. Do we have anything else to discuss about the property? These two, the variance or the plat? All right, moving on. Discuss variance requests, Ryder Seminole, 2670 Orleans Quarters Drive, non-compliance section 19-6, servitude encroachment to build a patio. I hope you can tell that from that sketch, but he wants to build a patio out there. It's going to be open size, and it was approved by the Planning Commission, or recommended approval by the Planning Commission. Any comments or discussion?
For the record, we already granted Mr. Seminole last year a fence variance.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, he came closing.
All right. Next item, discuss variance request. Tina Janusa, 3324 Orange Quarter Drive, non-compliant section 19.6, servitude encroachment to build a patio, same thing. Not same thing, I mean similar. Any discussion on that? Anybody?
Planning Commission, recommend approval on that.
Yes, also, yes. There'll be a lot of those before it's over.
Yeah, that's one question I have, and I think I brought this up a while back. It just seems like we do a lot of that on Orange Quarter.
That's right.
Is it maybe because of the way it was developed the first time?
It was, I think it was.
I wasn't here, I'm just wondering.
No, it was.
In the future, we need to keep an eye on that.
We learned on that development that if we have another development like that where the houses are that close to the back, that we gonna just say you gotta put culverts.
Yeah, because that way it eliminates all this.
And the drainage servitude would be like minuscule, and then they could build a patio in their backyard and have to worry. That's why now, we think we put culverts in the ditch before we allow to build anything in that backyard. Because if you walk out that backyard, you mean, I don't know if you remember, we changed the front setback to 20 because it was such a chronic problem, you know? I'm gonna say that was a screw-up. We should have. I mean, we learned the hard way. If that ever happens again, nah.
This could be fixed.
All right, talk to me, derelict buildings. 407 Gwynn, I talked to the attorney who's handling the sale, I guess you'd call it, succession and sale, etc., whatever it's called. And he assured me that if the owners of the property aren't prudent about making this move forward, that he'd let me know, and we tear the place down. The game plan is that she's the lady who's most likely the heir to this, or gonna end up there, is gonna sell this to Richard Soniat, and then he's gonna fix it up and make another nice rent house out of it. So we're working with them to try to move forward on that. We prefer if they did it that way, but if they don't, we're prepared to go. Y'all have already approved the demolition of it, so we're just hoping against hope that they'll make it through the process.
Why are you making a face?
Well, we've already approved demolition, but I was at fault in not catching that it was a deceased person involved in the chain of title.
Right.
So we have to go back and do as we're doing on Out the Crown, as we had to do initially on the LMA Surratt Keith property, 1153, because the son had bought it.
Do we need to do that now, or do we need to do it if this deal falls through?
No, we'll let them.
Let them do that thing?
Through it.
Okay.
Actually, the person involved is the heir of.
Mr. Mobley.
Mr. Mobley's, okay? He's a half owner. The other half owner is his wife, who hasn't been around for 40-plus years. And so what, I talked to Mr. Kimball, who's the attorney handling it. What it looks like is what happened is the succession, and this was not Mr. Mobley's only piece of property. So that's kind of the minor holdup right now is.
With the estate?
Yeah, to actually have to do an estate, to include all the property of Mr. Mobley's. The daughter is the only heir. She will inherit that. And then she will have to go from there and do a partition sale against an absentee, wife, who we don't even know if she's still alive or not, whatever, hadn't lived in the area for 40-plus years. You know, get an attorney appointed to find her and then do a partition and that way be able to sell it.
Yeah.
It'll take probably a couple, 3 months to do.
The shortest path is if they're successful in what they're doing.
Yeah.
That by far.
But the encouraging thing is the individual that is wanting, that would like to buy it, is the same individual who bought 1153 East Main. So he has a good track record of, if he can ultimately acquire it, I think you have every confidence that it will get done.
And Kevin told me if they drag their feet or something, he'll let me know and go to do what we got to. But I'm hoping I'm hoping he doesn't call me.
I will keep tabs with him on that.
All right, 1146 West Main is the Woods property. I got 20 different promises that they come visit me, and I just said, nah. So I asked Tom what to do, and he said, first thing we need to do is do a house inspection. I got Wayne to go out there, and I gave it to him today.
Yeah, we don't have to.
We'll get the ball rolling.
Papers to open that succession.
It's another deal where they want to tear it down, but they have family members and all that, so.
They need a little legal pride.
You need a little help. And 229 St. John, that's the burned down house, and we're moving forward on it.
They just signed to do it, open the succession.
And again, I figured out the closest relative, and he called, I called him, and he called me back, and he said, oh yeah, I'll be, my brother's gonna call you this week, and that was 2 weeks ago, whatever, and nobody heard anything, so we just gonna.
The thing is we don't know. We can't rely on the property tax records, because the person listed on the property tax record is herself deceased, the dog.
Sure.
Yeah.
But the, I mean, the people next door are the ones that call, you know, concerned because of.
Oh yeah. No, I don't.
We gotta go through the same process. When you have somebody in the chain of title that's deceased, you gotta.
Right, you gotta go through.
It's not easy. It doesn't say it on here, but the grass, I called the lady today. She thought her grass had been cut 2 weeks ago, and it wasn't. We're still, we've gotta get hold of the people right next to Las Palmas, their grasses. We've already sent them a letter, and they haven't cut it, so. And then I got a person who came today, lives in the gates back there. And when you go down the road, the trees, those prairie myrtles are growing out into the road. Now, there's not, I don't have to go down there, so I didn't know that, so we're gonna have to get them to trim the trees. Assuming the trees are on their property, I don't know whether there's a right of way there, and they belong to us. Either way, they gotta get trimmed, so I'll be working on that with them.
Wayne has access, right? Y'all have access into the gated community.
Oh yeah.
No, the problem's not in the gated community. Probably, when they leave the gated community coming out, the trees that are on the shopping center side, they hanging into the road. You can see the leaves where they hit it, you know? And so they've gotta, you know, trim. It's prairie myrtles, and they haven't been pruned in since they planted probably. Anything, anybody else on the flight, on the derelict buildings or flight property? All right, next item is review the April bills in package. Hopefully your information, Patricia was given the clearance today by her doctor to come back to work, so she's back to work. And I know Debbie's relieved. And I told her she has to put a pop-up in her computer every hour, on the hour. She has to take a walk from her office around the building, around the police station, and back to her office, because my wife told me that's the thing, that's when you have a circulation problem, you're sitting in a chair all day, and you know, bad, so.
He's not worried about the rest of us.
No, the rest of you, y'all have a circulation problem, and I'll deal with it. Thanks, sir. Anything on the bills? Anybody, anything on the bills? All right, resolution blank of 2015, the usual ad valorem tax, we won't collect it. We need to do a resolution every year. Unless somebody has an objection to that, we won't collect it again. Personnel committee, I'm not aware of anything. Recreation, I'm not aware of anything.
Baseball game tomorrow.
Baseball game tomorrow, girls came out, lost in semifinals. Boys are doing good. Police committee, chief, you got anything? Governmental affairs.
We have the landmark meeting scheduled, but there was lack of quorum, so we did not conduct business, so.
Okay.
Probably won't have a reception for clients until September, we do have that to take.
Okay. Other matters, I'm not aware of any. Mayor's report, I was in Columbus, Georgia this weekend, and I got a tour of Fort Benning, which is really impressive. But they have in there, instead of speed bumps, they have what's called speed tables. A speed bump is like this. A speed table is like this, like they're about 10 feet wide. You go up, and then you go about 10 feet, you go down. It serves the same purpose, but it doesn't make any noise. Doesn't make any noise. If you try to go over them too fast, you know, you're gonna have a problem. But when you hit them, you don't, you know, you're like on a much steeper slope. I mean, a much flatter slope. And you get to the top, and then you go down. It seems to work better. They have them all over the base. That base is impressive. And, I mean, you have in a museum, and you have one with. Really good. We have down across from McDonald's over here, one culvert going underneath the railroad track, and in heavy rains, the rain backs up near Shane's house, and there's a big old cross drain across the highway, but there's only one 24-inch culvert under the railroad track. And you look at it and you say, well, you know, that just don't look right. So I started asking around, and I called the guy with the railroad. He came out, and he went and looked at it. He said, oh, I'll give you the email address of somebody who will fix you up. The lady sent me a form to fill out that was absolutely impossible. Like, what is the distance from your culvert to the nearest section line? You know, like in feet. So anyway, I said, oh, I can't do this. So I asked Kevin Durbin, and he said a guy named Kevin Grovois had done this for them for crossings under the railroad track in Lindale over there. So I called him and I said, listen, you know, and I told him what I wanted. And he said, can you work up an estimate on what the engineering cost would be? The cost would be to put another second pipe there or to put a big one, either one, whichever's cheaper. He said, sure, I'll be happy to do that. He sent me an estimate, the engineering part would be $4,700. And that doesn't count the construction part of it. The construction part, you have to use the railroad's contractor, and he charges you whatever the hell he wants. So, Jane, you know, we're gonna have to find another way to get the water out.
Dynamite.
Yeah, it ain't gonna happen. Went to the chamber meeting, and John Kennedy spoke, and you know, all he talked about was the budget, and if you listen to him, everything is simple. So, but he's a good speaker. Chief and I met with Brett Stassi and Ricky Ward. They really wanted to meet the chief and talk about stuff. And Brett Stassi is always an interesting discussion. I won't say any more now.
Oh, that was an official meeting?
Yeah, sure. And they paid for food, so it made it even better.
Is that all right? You went to food there?
Fat
Daddy. We went to Little Daddy's. We didn't go to Fat Daddy's. So that's what people...
A lot of people get fat at Little Daddy's.
Yeah, that's what I can tell you. I eat a pot sausage, poor boy. All right. Remarks of personal privilege. Anyone? Jane?
Yes. Just two things. For as Mr. Henry Melanson, it's public record. He got $410,000 for his property. I think he's probably a happy camper right now. And secondly, it's interesting that you live four houses down from me in Orleans, Florida, Scott.
Thank you. Anybody else?
I have one thing. I participated in the asthma walk.
Oh, yeah.
That went really well. I had a lot of people asking from 8 o'clock to 2 o'clock. Sold a bunch of people. I'm not sure how much money they raised, but it was a really neat deal. See it grow from last year to this year. So.
Yeah. What happened till 2 o'clock? I mean, they had like a fair?
DJ, they had fried chicken, hamburgers, french fries, a little vendor set up selling stuff.
So after y'all worked out the late fried chicken and hamburgers?
Yeah, they had fried chicken and hamburgers, the people that ran away.
Wish I'd have been here. Bob, go ahead.
Since they opened that canal at night, the water really improves good.
Get out of there. Yeah. Boy, that's good.
Yeah, it's got a great full suction, so.
That's great.
The rainstorm that came through Monday didn't cause any drain problem?
We didn't get anything. No, it was great.
I was at the water.
Nobody said anything. I mean, we looked around and I'm not so sure we got all that much water.
We got across the river in Baton Rouge and the rain was intense for a short duration.
Yes.
Well,
you know, I was watching what was going on in the Weather Channel. I was sitting in the living room in Raleigh, North Carolina. And that's obviously a national network. And they were following foot by foot that storm. And they were showing, the guy was drawing little circles. He said, here's a tornado, gustability, here's a tornado. So I called Debbie and I said, man, y'all need to get out of there. It's bad. Well, by that time, it had turned nighttime and they went over there. But they were following that thing step by step. And they showed a picture on the Mississippi River Ridge looking to the west. And you could see that black cloud. And about 5 minutes later, they showed the bridge itself. You couldn't see the cars. You could only see the dots where there were lights. I mean, that's how hard
it was. Like nighttime here.
Oh, everybody said that, yeah.
I was up at the Waffle House when they camped.
Really?
Whoa. right in the
You saw the fall?
The wind in that place was actually raining. And you could feel the tables moving in. It's
So me and my buddy, we were sitting there, God says, I'm gonna close their blinds. I said, hell, it's gonna help.
That ain't gonna help.
Yeah, so we sat there for a while.
Did y'all see that phone call? Because I saw a picture of the phone call somebody took from Walmart.
So I said, look, I'm leaving, and the wife was down there hollering at me about, you wanna go out there? Well, I did. When I cut the corner, those telephone poles were breaking just like toothpicks.
Really?
And that truck, when that truck, 18 wheel, I saw that big little transformer, it fell, man, it had fire. But I just went out, drove right on through. Because my truck was rocking pretty good. We got that one.
All right.
We'll be ramping.
Anybody else?
Yeah. We'll be, you'll see increase in traffic. So maybe ramp up some sort of project. Increase in traffic.
Yeah.
Probably bringing about 500-600 more people on site in the next month and a half. So, but hey, they did open a ferry, so that's really what they do.
Yeah.
The storm we had on Friday, we had almost 4,000 feet of temporary fence blowing down. And then they're putting back up a bit.
But all the studies they did with the money, they could have built 3 bridges across that.
Yeah, you, and more than that.
Yeah, we're about to see them bridge.
We're gonna see a big increase in train traffic too when the port starts processing wood pellets.
Anybody else?
Luke, huh?
Yes, ma'am. Oh, okay, Ms. Bourgeois says we have a move on. Okay. Announcements, town hall will be closed May 25th in observance of Memorial Day. And at this time, I'd like to ask the council to go into executive session for purposes of getting a...
Louisiana Revised Statute 42, Title 42, Section 6.1, subpart capital A, subpart 2, to discuss prospective litigation after a formal writ of demand.
Moved by Ms. Bourgeois. Second by Mr. Rhodes. No, we got to do a roll call. Roll call. Any comments from the audience? Roll call vote.
Councilmember Bourgeois.
Yes.
Councilmember Neesler.
Yes.
Councilmember Rhodes.
Yes.
Councilmember Richard.
Yes.
Councilmember Andre.
Yes.
For those of you in the audience, for your information, we are going to come out and we won't have a comment. And we're going to adjourn, and that'll be it. So,
it's up to you all, but I recommend you invite Chief of the Folk.
I can live with that.
He's invited.